Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, my Lord, my rock, and my Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. I'm going to start out with a fun fact that I am an Enneagram 2. And anyone who knows this about anything about me should probably guess that pretty easily. So I'm an Enneagram 2. And for those who don't know what that means that I am a doer. Serving others is my love language. This comes also from being wired as the eldest daughter and first generation daughter of immigrants, and also is just who I am. I love to do things for others. Acts of service is how I feel worthy and I feel complete and I feel like I'm truly loving people well. Now, my sister, she's an Enneagram number 5. And if you know anything about Enneagrams, you know that this means she's naturally contemplative, a deep thinker who processes the world by stepping back and observing with remarkable wisdom. My sister sees patterns that most miss, asks questions that cut to the heart of things, and has this beautiful gift of taking everything in with such depth and intention that she often understands situations more clearly than most of us rushing around in the middle of them. This caused a lot of problems of us growing up. Throughout our childhood and even into adulthood, I would get so frustrated, and I'll admit, even resentful, because at gathering events, at church, at the park, or wherever we were, my sister would be seen beautifully taking it all in, sitting with our family or our guests, really listening to these stories, engaging in deep conversation, while I was running around, making sure that the table was perfect and helped me my mom however I could, making sure everybody was fed because everybody must be fed, making sure that the dishes were cleared and that everything was running smoothly. I just couldn't understand how she could just sit there when there was so much to be done. Didn't she see that someone needed to make all of this happen? Didn't she see that I needed help? And I would allow these feelings to take away from the actual events we were having in the midst of. It took me years to realize that we were both loving our family well, just in different ways. She was offering the gift of presence, of deep attention, of wisdom, and of being fully there with people. And I was offering the gift of care, of making sure everyone felt welcomed and fed and comfortable. My siblings, neither was wrong, but I had convinced myself that my way, of course, was the only one that mattered and was correct, and the only one that counted as true love. And so there's something achingly familiar about the scene that we encounter today in the Gospel in Luke. A home open in hospitality, the desire to do everything right, the mounting pressure of preparation, the growing resentment when others seem oblivious to all the other needs, the moment when frustration finally spills over. Doesn't anyone else care? Why doesn't anyone else help? We've all been there. Some of us might have even said these same words getting ready this morning. Jesus walks into Martha's home carrying the dust of the road, the weight of his mission, the needs of a broken world. And Martha, generous Martha, opens her door and her heart. And what happens next is not a morality tale about choosing the right spiritual activity, but a teaching. A teaching in what it means to be truly present in a world that pulls us in 1,000,000,000 directions. Martha opens her home, and this is no small thing. Hospitality in the ancient world was sacred and holy work. Also dangerous, costly, and transformative work. Martha doesn't just invite Jesus in. She creates space for an encounter, for teaching, for community to happen. Without Martha's yes, there would be no story at all today. And then we also have Mary, who sits at Jesus' feet, and this too is no small thing. In a culture where women were not typically counted as disciples, Mary claims her place at his feet as a learner, as a receiver of wisdom. She positions herself not as a servant, but as a student. Her presence there in itself is an act of revolution. And so both these women are making profound choices. Both are engaging with the sacred, and both are responding to Jesus' presence in their midst. So when Jesus speaks to Martha's frustration, although we have shamed Martha for eons, I don't believe he's creating a hierarchy between sitting and serving. No, I dare say that he's addressing something much deeper. The quality of presence each woman brings to her own choice. For he says, Martha, Martha. Notice that repetition. When we usually repeat our beloved's names more than once, we say with such tenderness, right? Martha, Martha. You are worried and distracted by many things. The word here for distracted is revealing in its Greek root. It comes from a root that means to be pulled apart, literally to lose your center, to have your attention scattered in multiple directions until you can't find your footing anywhere. So Jesus isn't criticizing Martha for serving. He's making a gentle observation, diagnosis that somewhere in all the doing, somewhere in all the preparation, somewhere in all that she was doing, Martha has lost her grounding. She has been pulled apart by competing demands until she can't remember why she even opened her doors in the first place. And even to the point where it seems like resentment begins to grow. And I mean, how can she not be pulled apart? I mean, how can any of us not be distracted and pulled apart by our daily needs? I mean, the Hill Country has just been hit by a massive flooding, killing more than 120 people. Families continue to be separated and deported. People are celebrating the building of what they call Alligator Alcatraz, a modern-day concentration camp. Our schools continue to get defunded, and our government is forgetting who they serve and protect. Food prices continue to get higher while the poverty line continues to grow. The number of homeless people in our country continue to skyrocket while empathy continues to be in a decline. Women, people of color, and our queer and trans siblings' rights continue to be taken away. Black bodies continue to be subjected to brutality and mockery and oppression. And Social Security and Medicare are being threatened and cut. The list, as you all know, goes on. And so, of course, we are easily distracted on our day-to-day lives. Our minds and our bodies and our hearts and our souls are divided. Of course, we are always on edge. This is a spiritual crisis of our time. That we can become so busy responding to all the news alerts and to everything happening that is affecting us and our community, responding to every urgent need, that we lose sight of what and why it is that we care so much to begin with. We can become so scattered by legitimate concerns that we forget who we are, whose we are, and why we're here. But here's what's beautiful about Jesus' response. He doesn't tell Martha to stop serving and to sit down like Mary. He doesn't create this false choice between action and contemplation. Instead, Jesus invites her into something deeper. He invites her into the possibility of wholehearted presence in whatever she's called to do. Mary has chosen what Jesus calls the better part. And not because sitting is superior to doing and to serving, but because she has brought her whole self, her whole Mary self, into her choice. She is fully present there in those moments. This teacher, this opportunity to receive, she is there for it all. There's a centeredness, a quality of attention that can't be taken away from her. And so the question isn't whether you're a Mary or a Martha. I used to grow up wondering that. Am I Mary or Martha? Am I Mary or Martha? The question is how you bring wholehearted presence to whatever the moment is asking of you. Look at Jesus' own life. He moves seamlessly between Mary moments and Martha moments. Sometimes he withdraws to lonely places to pray. Sometimes he's in the thick of crowds, healing and teaching and feeding and serving. Sometimes he sits by wells and listens to women's stories. Sometimes he overturns tables and confronts injustice. Just last week, he called us to be doers and to serve with the Samaritan parable. So my sibling, what if the one thing that is needed is not a particular activity between sitting at Jesus' feet and serving, but a particular quality of presence? What if the better part is not about what we choose to do, but how we choose to do it? With what intention? With what centeredness? And with what love? Think about the people in your life who embody this kind of presence. Think about the teachers who bring such attention to her students that even the most distracted and scattered-minded child seems seen and loved and known. Think about the activists who work for justice without being consumed by the rage, and that is hard. Maybe it's the friend who listens so deeply that you feel heard into wholeness. Maybe it's the parent who can change a diaper or read a bedtime story with the same reverence others bring to prayer. My husband Fabian does that so well. He can just change a diaper, read a story in a way that most of us dream of praying like. These people have learned the secret Mary and Martha both point us towards, that every moment is an opportunity for a sacred encounter. So whether we're washing dishes or studying scripture, whether we're organizing relief efforts or sitting in meditation, we are called into a quality of presence to encounter the sacred. And so in our world right now, in our hurting and broken world right now, we both need Marthas and Marys. So if you're sitting here wondering who you are, we need them both. We need people who will sit with people who are grieving from flood waters and wars and systemic violence. And we need people who will organize relief efforts and fight for policy change and show up to help. We need contemplatives who act and activists who pray. The better part is not choosing one over the other. I think that is one thing that we have tried for too long to rise and raise Martha over Mary, or Mary over Martha. The better part is learning to serve from a centered place, to love, to act from a place of love rather than our anxieties and our rage and our resentments, to respond to the world's pain without losing our own selves and our own groundings. This is much simpler and more challenging than we often make it out to be. For it's as simple as pausing before we are about to rush out into our everyday to remember who we are and whose we are. And also, it's as challenging as learning to say no to some good things so we can say yes wholeheartedly to what we're truly called to do. Some days, choosing the better part might mean setting boundaries so that you can show up more fully where you're needed most. Other days, it might mean pushing beyond your comfort zone to respond to an urgent need. Sometimes it might mean sitting quietly when everything and everyone around you wants you to act. Other times, it might look like intentionally pulling in when every fiber of your body wants to withdraw. The wisdom is in learning to discern which this moment requires, and then bringing your whole self that God has perfectly created to that choice. In a world where floods and wars and injustice scatter our attention in 1,000,000,000 directions, the invitation remains the same, my siblings, to find that center that holds, to discover the place within us that cannot be shaken, to live from a deep well of love that makes both contemplation and action possible. So whether you find yourself more naturally drawn to either Mary or Martha or neither, the question is still the same. What would it look like to bring sacred presence to whatever this moment is asking of you, no matter how big or how small? My siblings, the good news, because you know there's always good news, is that the better part is always available. The better part is always now. The better part is always love made manifest, whether through listening or serving, through the actions or stillness, through the thousand small ways we show up fully to the life we have been given and gifted. The better part is always now. May we choose it over and over again until our very lives becomes that prayer. Amen.